The order of morning service, beginning on page 5. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given Thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of Thee, and of Thy will, and true obedience to Thy word, to the end that by Thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given us His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believeth on His name, He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Our worship continues with a reading of the responsive introit, as found printed on your bulletin insert. I will bless the Lord at all times. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. Those who look to Him are radiant. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Glory be to the Father and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, I will bless the Lord at all times. Glory be to God on high. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, preserve us from all harm and danger, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish what you want done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading this morning is written in the 38th chapter of Job, beginning at the 4th verse. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched a line upon it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It has changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare, if you know all this." Here ends the reading. The epistle is written in the 10th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 5th verse. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, 'Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Here ends the epistle. Please rise for the responsive gradual as printed on your bulletin insert. Fear the Lord, you His saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Holy Gospel is written in the 14th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the 22nd verse. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly You are the Son of God." Here endeth the Gospel. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found printed on page 12. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated as we now invite forward our children for the children's message. I see we have a big crowd today. Oh, we're going to change that. Well, good morning, everyone. Before you get comfortable, let's stand back up and let's stand over here because I want to talk to you about something. So let's come over here. Cooper, come on over here. Join the ladies. It's us two guys against the girls, but I want you to look that way. Don't look at me. Don't look at them. Look that way. So there's many things in this life that we like to do, right? How about swimming? Do you all four of you like to swim? Are you good swimmers?
I'm not a good swimmer.
You're not a good swimmer? So Dad needs to throw you in a pond and teach you how to swim, does he?
Well, the water gets in my mouth.
Yeah, the water will get in your mouth, but guess what? You'll also go under, right? And that teaches us something, Cooper, and it teaches all of us. We all like to swim. We can do that, and we can even float on the water. But unlike Cooper, who can't swim, if we can't swim, what happens? We go sink. We go under. That teaches us that we can't walk on water, can we? Cooper, can you walk on water?
No.
Nope. Nope. Cooper's telling the truth. None of us can walk on water, and especially everyone looking at us right now, and especially me. Some people think just because I wear this, that I walk on water. Not true, because I'm a sinner just like all of you. So there's only one man who's ever walked on water, and Peter, for a moment, when he trusted God, he walked on water. But that doesn't always apply to us. Just because Peter walked on water, does that mean, Cooper, that you can go up here to the pond and walk across the pond?
I can float if I have a floaty.
You have a floaty, you could float across, that's true, but you can't walk on the water, can you? Nope. Again, Cooper telling us the truth. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Good. You will sink just like Peter, that's right. But there's something that Jesus did do. Now, you all can have a seat over here now. There is something that Jesus did do that we can all do. Jesus did something very, very important for us. Well, he walked on the water to show us that he is God. But also, Jesus did this. What does this picture show us? What's Jesus doing here? He's praying. Yeah, Jesus is praying. This is something that Jesus did. And guess what? We can too. Jesus did that. We can't do that. But Jesus did this and we can do that. The problem is too many people think they can do this and they don't do this. That's the problem. Too many people are too arrogant nowadays to turn to the Lord in prayer because they think they can walk on water. But they can't walk on water, can they? That's how you do it, right? That's how you do it. I like your fingernails, by the way. I need to talk to Mom and Dad anyway. So, too many people forget about prayer and they think they can walk on water. And what happens? People begin to realize that they can't walk on water because they're not praying. James tells us we do not have because we do not pray. So with all these troubles in our life, and all of you have troubles, I know you do, you're getting ready to go back to school, and I'm sure there's someone at school that you just don't want to have to deal with. Hopefully it's not your teacher. But prayer is very important. So Jesus teaches us today that it's important to pray. And we pray to our Father, we pray to our Jesus, and we ask Him to be with us, to protect us, to guard and to guide us, and to be with us in all that we do in this life. And that's what Jesus is doing. He always prayed to His Father. And from His Father, He received strength. And when we pray to our Father, we also receive strength because Jesus will keep His promise. Jesus told us that He'll never leave us or never forsake us. And that's true. So remember in this life, we'll have many troubles. Remember in this life, you can't walk on water. Remember in this life, you can pray. And therefore, that's the encouragement today for all of us to pray, and always give thanks. For the Lord is with us, and when the Lord is with us, there's no reason, never a reason, to be afraid. Let's close with a word of prayer. Okay, Cooper, show us how we pray. You ready? There we go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us today that we cannot walk on water because we are not God, even though we may think that we are. But Lord, you rebuke us and you tell us that we are not God, and therefore we are to do as you did, turn to your Father in prayer. And in prayer, Lord, you keep your promise that you will be with us and that you will speak to us in our prayers and you will show us the way that we are to go. Lord, we pray that you be with these young people here gathered and that you continue to bless them and their families. And we pray, Lord, you continue to bless and guard and guide our families here in this congregation. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. And in your holy name we pray. And the children said,
Amen.
Cooper, I don't think they heard you. Say it louder.
Amen.
Very good. All right. Okay, Cooper, go walk on water.
I got something like ouchie.
Yeah, okay. That happens. We now sing the hymn of the day. Thank you. Please rise. Jesus said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Grace, mercy, and peace to us from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Where's Jesus when we need him? The disciples have been up all night fighting for their lives. They only had to go 6 miles across the Sea of Galilee. It should not have been this hard. But the wind was against them. There they are, straining against the oars. Fear has gripped them as they struggle, and they are making very little headway. Actually, the sense of the Scripture is that they're being pushed farther and farther into the midst of the sea. St. John tells us that they only had to go 3 or 4 more miles. Where's Jesus when you need him? Yes, where is Jesus when you need him? When do you all struggle with that question? Well, I know you have, because you're a human being just like me, because I've struggled with this question. Where's Jesus when I need him? Is it early in the morning after you've been awakened from a nightmare? Is it when life and all of its troubles and suffering are beating against you? Is it when family and friends disappoint you? And I know they do, because they also disappoint me, even though they're not my family, although they are my family in Christ. Where's Jesus when I need him? In his Holy Gospel this morning, Jesus answers just as he answered his disciples. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." My dear brother and sister, here we are, not struggling against wind and wave, but against a pestilence, against a pandemic. And actually, if you stop and think about it, we're even struggling against our own government. Persecution has come from outside of the church, and yes, even in the church. Yet your Lord God, your Redeemer, the God-man, your Savior, reminds you, and he reminds me, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Since you are his dear child, should you not take him at his word? Believe what he is saying to you. If you believe what he is saying to you, that's faith. Faith, courage, the courage of faith, overcomes all fear, including a pandemic. The courage of faith is that which takes hold of Jesus' promise, takes hold of his word, and refuses to let go. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So now, each of you have a bulletin. You can put it on your refrigerator door. Not that you should need a reminder, but here it is, if you must. You should always remember his gracious words. You shouldn't need this on your door. They should be written in here. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Well, let's go back a week to see what really is happening here. It's been a long day. Jesus has taken his disciples to a remote place. The crowds that followed him from Capernaum. Jesus has spent the day teaching and healing. And evening has come, and the disciples tell Jesus, "Send the crowd away so they can get something to eat." And Jesus tells them, "You give them something to eat." He wanted his disciples to trust him. Well, how do they answer? "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not trusting the Lord. They thought they had to do it. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus proved to them He proves to you, He proved to the crowd that He is God, that He is the Messiah, that He is the King. Not the kind of King they wanted, but He is the King. He satisfies. He fulfills their every need, just as He satisfies you and fulfills all your needs, even though sometimes we don't want to admit it. There, Jesus fed 5,000 men, including women and children. Could have been close to 10,000 people. And every one of them were filled. Filled to the overflowing, actually, as Scripture tells us. Even so, the disciples collected 12 basketfuls, one basket for every disciple. Jesus even provided for His own disciples. He proved to them that He is the Messiah, that He is the true King, not just a bread king, but the King. And he does all of this in accordance with His great grace and mercy. Jesus is the Almighty Son of God. He proved that He is the Almighty Son of God. Yet, the temptation was that they would make Jesus their bread king. They would make Him their glorious Messiah who would kick out the Romans and restore Israel to its great prominence once again, just like when Solomon sat on the throne. But Jesus is not Solomon. He is God. And so He proves to His disciples by sending them away and sending them into a storm and dismissing the crowd. And all along, Jesus goes up on the mountain and He prays and He prays and He prays. The night now has entered the fourth watch. Remember, the Jews did not keep time like we do. A Jew did not pull out his Rolex and look at it. No, they followed the sun, or at night they used a water clock. It's called a clepsydra. The fourth watch was the latest watch of the day, of the morning, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Few of us are awake at that time, but some of us are. And you know that being up at 3 o'clock in the morning just isn't natural. But think about it. The disciples are rowing, and they're rowing, and they're rowing and making no headway. They've been up all day. They're about to go under. They're about to give up. And then Jesus comes. Just when all hope is almost lost, Jesus comes walking on the water. Look, it's a ghost! Which, by the way, dear friends, do not exist. Oh, maybe you think you've seen a ghost, but it's not a ghost. It's something that Satan uses against you. Something he uses against your conscience, against your eyes and your better judgment. To instill fear in you. To instill foreboding in you. To destroy your faith. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want you to trust Jesus. Just like these men, they saw a water spirit walking toward them. And the Jewish superstition is this: to see a water spirit means certain death. But wait a minute, it's the Lord. And He's not the Lord of death, He's the Lord of life. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus is walking on the sea. Not even the forces of nature can hinder the Lord. After all, He is the Creator. He is the Son of God. He has power over all, including your fears and my fears, whatever it may be, whatever they may be. He promises that He is with you, that He'll never leave or forsake you, that He will come to you, and He does in the preached word and in body and blood. Jesus keeps His promise. Rarely do we. You see, faith takes courage. Courage from His Word. Faith, courage overcomes fear by relying on Jesus' Word, taking hold of His Word, and never letting go. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it's You, Peter replied, Tell me to come to you on the water. Peter's faith, as you noticed, would not act without the word of God. So Jesus proclaims, come. Just as he proclaims to you, come. And we do, and we receive. Peter hears the word come, and in faith, he steps out of the boat. Faith is not blind. Faith requires a word of promise. A word of promise to cling to hold on to trust. Faith does not leap into the unknown, but rather it hears and obeys the command of Jesus. Don't be misled, my dear one, by so-called faith that many people say that they have, and they say that they can dare to have faith. They dare this faith because of Jesus, and they think that they can walk on water. But they find very soon and very quickly that they cannot walk on water because their faith is not based on the Word of God, on the Word of Jesus. So in faith, Peter steps out of the boat and Peter walks on the water, trusting his Lord, trusting in his Word. Faith dares the impossible, that's true, only when Jesus has promised to supply that faith and to give that faith freely. But, oh, there's always a but with Peter. But when he sees the wind and the crashing waves, he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to sink, just like Cooper. When our eyes leave our Lord, when we begin to focus on the troubles of our life, those troubles that are always blowing in our face, when our ears no longer hear our Lord, but we listen to other people and to other things of this world, when we begin to listen to Satan's lies, then doubt pushes aside of faith, and faith slowly seeps away, and we begin to sink. No, faith must focus on Jesus. Faith must fill our hearts with His Word. Faith is complete and total trust in Jesus and Him alone. So the picture you see hanging here, a picture that I showed our children and that you've all seen, you're probably wondering what is Pastor doing? Has he gone nuts? Yeah, many people will say that. That's okay, they can think that. But I have a purpose. And this purpose, and the purpose of this picture is this. This is not me. Now that you're all shook up, your pastor does not walk on water. All you have to do is ask my wife. She'll tell you. Neither do any of you walk on water, by the way. I know that for a fact. So this is not you, and this is not me. This picture hangs in my office. Not that I need a reminder, but it's there. And every time I look at it, I remember, that's not me. And I remember, it's not the children of this congregation either. It's not those who've been led to lead and to proclaim to. Each and every one is a sinner. So here's the point. Many people are hearing today that they can walk on water. All they have to do is trust Jesus. And so they go down to the St. Mary's and they step into the water and they go sink like a rock. And what does that do to faith? It destroys faith. Because the command isn't to you to go walk on water, nor is it me to go walk on water. That was a one-time command to Peter as an example to us that when we trust in Jesus, we can do anything, even walk on water. The problem is, unlike Peter, sometimes we don't doubt, but like Peter, we often doubt all the time. We are afraid of a virus. We're afraid of a pandemic. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. And what does Jesus remind us? Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. So before it's too late, Peter cries out, Lord, save me! You can kind of see his hand stretched out from the water as he's going under. Maybe he's nose deep, maybe, I'm not sure. But he says the word so his mouth's not quite under the water. And Jesus immediately reaches out and snatches his hand and catches Peter. And so he also catches you and I. How has he caught you and I? Jesus stretched out his hand. Actually, he stretched out both hands. He stretched out his hands on the cross and he proclaimed for you and he proclaimed for me, "It is finished. You have been saved. Why do you doubt? Take courage. It is your Messiah. He has saved you. There's nothing in this life that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, including a pandemic. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." So lastly, Jesus has overcome the world for you, and he's overcome the world for me. He has done this by dying and rising. In faith, take hold of his promise that he is coming for us. We don't know when that is, but dear one, we must be ready. And if you're afraid all of the time, that means you're not ready. Repent. Repent of your fear. And be like Peter. Step out of the boat and trust the Lord. Follow him. Pick up your cross, for he has gone to his cross and died for each and every one of us. And in his death, he proclaims to us, "Yes, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And even so, he also proclaims that all your sin is forgiven. All your sin is forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the offering. Please rise for prayer. O Lord our God, we do not presume to know your ways or inform your judgment. We ask you to grant us your Holy Spirit, so that we may apprehend your ways and know your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. Give us wisdom, that we may trust in your word amid the stormy seas of this mortal life, and be safely delivered from all danger unto the eternal shores of heaven. O Lord our God, we have no righteousness of our own, but only the righteousness of Christ into which we were clothed in holy baptism. Grant us grace that we may be faithful in every circumstance and bold in our confession of your saving name. Guard those who preach your word to us so that, hearing, we may believe, and believing, we may have everlasting life. O Lord our God, we see the great need and ask you to raise up those who will serve as a pastor, as a teacher, as a missionary, and in all church work vocations. Bless church planters and the young congregations that they may endure. Bring hope and renewal to all struggling congregations and to the pastors who serve them. And do not let fear keep us from your word and sacraments. O Lord our God, we ask you to bless us, our nation, and those who lead us. Guide all elected and appointed civil servants in your judgments, that we may know justice in our land and peace amongst the nations. Keep us especially mindful of those who need our special protection, who need your special protection, the unborn, the aged, and the oppressed. O Lord our God, we pray for your blessing upon the schools where children learn, especially for the schools, universities, and seminaries of our church. Give your blessing to all places where your people gather to teach and learn your word. Help us to remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. O Lord our God, we remember the sick, those who suffer, those troubled in mind, the grieving and the dying. Deliver them according to your will, and grant them the comfort of your word in their afflictions, that they may depend upon your mercy in every circumstance. Hear us especially for the sake of Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Tom Etzler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolfert, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kalla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and Nikki Strait. O Lord our God, we give thanks for the saints of old who trusted in you, and now rest in Christ from all their labors. Deliver us from all evil and lead us through all temptation, so that we may at last join them in the marriage supper of the Lamb in your kingdom without end. O Lord our God, we pray you to be our light in dark in this darkness, our strength in weakness, our courage in fear, and our peace in distress. Speak to us by the voice of your word, that we may call upon you in the day of trouble and confess your saving name before all people. Hear us on behalf of ourselves and those for whom we have prayed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. To Dallas and Becky, please forgive me. I didn't mean to pick on you guys. I know why his fingernails are red. It's because of Etta. I know this. But rest assured, one day, Cooper will have nothing to do with that. I trust that. He'll be working in the farm, getting his hands muddy instead of red. I know this. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to pick on him. So. Okay. Announcements, as you see in the bulletin, I don't think I need to reiterate any of those. Please note, the anniversary committee is moving forward. I think we announced, maybe I didn't announce to all of you, but on September the 20th, one of our former pastors will be here. That is Pastor Michael Roth. He will be our guest preacher on the 20th of September. So begin telling your friends and family, let's fill this place up. Actually, it should be full every Sunday, but especially on September the 20th, let's fill up the congregation and welcome back Pastor Roth. I know of the angst and the sorrow that he experienced here at Zion in losing his dear wife, but we know that as we just sang in the closing hymn, we will see her one day. Robin was her name, right? Was it Robin? No. Someone remind me. Sandy. It was Sandy. We will see her on the other side, as Michael will also see her on the other side. So with that, all the announcements stand as you see. This one last thing. I was going to preach on the Job. The Job text is a very, very good text for us. But I thought, that's a better text to preach in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, I'll never preach in Washington, D.C. But that text will come up again in 3 years. I still have an opportunity. Remember, we weren't there when the Lord created. So we are His subjects. We are not God. And we do not do that. And neither do I. God's blessings to you all.